Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning. I'm Chasm Radio Farm Director Joe Gill. Your report brought to you by Midsota Trailer Sales and Service right off I-94 in Avon. Yeah, check out the crew. Talk to Chad. Check out their great inventory of trailers, whether it's a utility trailer, enclosed trailer, a gooseneck trailer, a heavy-duty trailer. Now, if you're hauling a lawnmower or a four-wheeler, or maybe you're hauling a bobcat or some bigger equipment, you'll find exactly what you need at Midsota Trailer Sales and Service. We begin this week check-in with fellow farm broadcaster Chad Smith as we talk dairy and school nutrition. And Chad has more details here this morning on Chasm Radio.
The National Dairy Council announced the Smart Swaps initiative to help with the challenges that school nutrition professionals face as they work to meet evolving USDA school meal standards. Katie Bombach, Vice President of School Nutrition for the National Dairy Council, said meeting those standards requires a balancing act.
While still trying to serve meals that are kid-friendly, that are appealing, and also get students excited about school meal programs. We have dairy-centric recipes. Two, we've done sample breakfast menus. And lastly, culinary and educational training materials. It was back in 2024 when USDA finalized new meal pattern requirements for both the National School Lunch and School Breakfast programs. First, there's more menu flexibility at breakfast. The rule removes the minimum daily grain requirements, which gives schools more freedom to feature nutrient-rich dairy foods like cheese and yogurt. And then starting this school year, there will also be new product-specific sugar limits.
USDA data showed many school nutrition breakfast programs don't meet the new sugar limit requirements, so schools need help adapting.
With these tighter limits on added sugar and on sodium, there was a concern that popular dairy foods like flavored milk, yogurt, and cheese could be reduced or even removed from school breakfast menus. So rather than seeing this as a setback, the dairy took off solid as an opportunity. It's a chance to support schools by developing practical, smart recipe updates and also sample breakfast menus that meet these new standards while keeping dairy foods on the menu and on student trays.
Bombach said they began the initiative by focusing on recipes.
Our school team reviewed the existing school breakfast offerings and identified opportunities to reduce added sugars and sodium while still maintaining that great taste, nutrition, and also practicality for school kitchens. And from that work, we updated 15 existing breakfast recipes that we know are student favorites. We just updated them slightly to meet the new standards and also fit into the new school menus. And two, we created 10 brand new breakfast recipes that were inspired by some of the current food trends and were also designed to fill some of those menu gaps that we identified by our school team. So altogether, Smart Swaps now offers 25 new or updated standardized dairy recipes.
The NDC ran student taste tests, and Bombach talked about the student feedback.
Some fun examples include a few cold or portable options like apple pie overnight oats. There's a strawberry pancake yogurt parfait and a frozen yogurt bark. Kids are wonderfully honest. There's no filter. A few of our favorite comments from students included, quote, put this on our school meals with an exclamation point, and then it tasted really good, 10 out of 10. But it was a great reminder that taste testing is essential. What sounds good on paper doesn't always resonate or land with students.
With the help of state and regional checkoff teams, those taste tests included approximately 2,500 students. Chad Smith reporting.
Alrighty, Chad, thank you very much. We go from dairy and we talk Canada and trade. I know we heard from broadcaster Dennis Guy last week in regards to some Canada and also other international trade deals. Now, this week, focusing on Canada and U.S. and the whole tariff situation, Dennis Guy is more from Canada.
On Wednesday, President Donald Trump said that he personally wants to attend next month's Supreme Court hearing on his tariff policies. The U.S. Supreme Court will hear oral arguments beginning on November 5th as to whether the president can unilaterally impose tariffs under emergency powers and is acting legally in his bypassing of Congress. The case involves the import tariffs against Canada, Mexico, and China over allegations of fentanyl trafficking, as well as Trump's reciprocal tariffs imposed on dozens of other countries. Mexico and Canada do have some tariff protection for products that are compliant under the USMCA. The overall USMCA agreement comes up for review and renegotiation next year. But Canada is still suffering under some of the toughest U.S. tariff actions for some of its largest export sectors, the auto industry, along with steel, aluminum, as well as Canada's softwood lumber. The lumber export industry was limping along under an existing 35% tariff, but last week, another 10% tariff was placed on all non-U.S. lumber. David Eby, Premier of British Columbia and the largest softwood lumber exporter into the U.S. marketplace, says what now amounts to more than 45% tariffs on Canadian lumber makes it less competitive than even Russian lumber going into the United States.
This additional tariff means that Canadian wood has a higher tariff rate going to the United States than Russia does. Let that sink in. There's a higher tariff on Canadian wood going to the United States than Russia, an international pariah who has launched a war of aggression on Ukraine. It doesn't make any sense.
And President Trump recently stated that more lumber tariffs could be added in the new year. One of the chief Canadian negotiators of the original North American Free Trade Pact, the first NAFTA, signed in the early 1990s, was John Weeks. In a recent interview, Weeks made the point that since that time, the U.S. market's importance in the world has changed. It is no longer the largest or wealthiest market, yet a lot of Canadians seem to be holding on to the hope that Trump's tariff war will disappear when the USMCA is renegotiated next year or when Trump eventually leaves office. To that, John Weeks says, don't bet on it.
We're not even sure that the United States really wants NAFTA to continue. We have to be prepared and we have to look at how to do things with other partners. The United States accounts for about 13% of world trade. So there's another 87%. It makes a lot of sense to have better partnerships.
While two lower tier U.S. courts have already ruled that Trump's tariff actions are in fact illegal, there is no guarantee that the Supreme Court will rule against the U.S. president's existing tariff policies. A Republican majority on the highest U.S. court has repeatedly voted in favor of the president, even expanding presidential powers. And Canada has watched all that happen. Reporting from Canada, I'm Dennis Guy.
All right, Dennis, thank you very much. And that is your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on Chasm Radio for a Saturday morning. It's brought to you by Mid-Soda Trailer Sales and Service in Avon. For Chasm Radio, I'm Joe Gill. Have a great weekend.